The text for this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians 14. And it's a long chapter with a lot of important teachings throughout it. But for our focus of the sermon, we focus on those verses 17, 18, and 19. The ones you notice there were some underlined. Those. And I read those from 1 Corinthians 14. Verses 17, 18, and 19. For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you want to look at the sermon notes, you can see that it's important for us to remember that we're the context of this chapter 14. And this chapters 12, 13, and 14 are really a unit, are one unit. And Paul, when they ask in the beginning in chapter 12, verse 1, they wrote him and said, ask him some questions about the spiritual things. And the first thing that Paul points out, which I did in my sermon 3 weeks ago, the first thing that points out is that the Holy Spirit's first work, his primary work, is to build up faith in Jesus Christ. That's the number one thing. If you're going to talk about spiritual gifts, it's faith in Christ, so that the person can say, Jesus is Lord. That's the number one thing. The term spiritual gifts is used in the Greek, or spiritual things, but Paul changes it and uses that term, but also adds the term grace gifts. These are gifts of God to his people, to his church, out of his grace, his mercy, his love for them. And the whole purpose of these is to build up the church. That's the number one purpose. What was happening in Corinth is we're saying, well, I have tongues. Well, I prophesy. Well, I do miracles. Well, I this. Well, I that. No, it's not to build up the person against others or that I'm better than others, but to build up the whole church, to serve one another. As he concluded in teaching that in chapter 12, then he moves into chapter 13, what's often called that chapter of love, which you heard preaching on that last week. And Paul says, this is the most excellent way. In fact, this is the way that lasts forever, into eternity, is love. So that if you have the Spirit, so gift, you have the gift of tongues, but not love, is nothing. If you have faith to move mountains, he says, but no love, is nothing. That love, that self-sacrificing love, the perfect of which was Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, that self-sacrificing love does it for the other person, the other. And Paul, He defines that love, and he shows examples of it, and he explains it so thoroughly in chapter 13. Then, chapter 14. The Corinthians, the Christians in Corinth, there was a confusion. They were thinking that the Holy Spirit would make them holy or better than each other, and there was a competition of sorts. And Paul is showing that that's not the Holy Spirit's work, but to bring faith in Christ, to say Jesus is Lord, and to bring edification to the church. And all this is grounded in love. And he begins chapter 14, this next section, when he says, and I have, it's right there, he says, pursue love. and the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love and the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. He is saying, okay, now I'm going to go back to your problems in worship. And the thing that I want you to really think about most first is love. And then pursue these spiritual gifts that you Corinthians are concerned about and the Holy Spirit's giving you, especially that you may prophesy. This term prophesy in Corinthians and in many places in the New Testament is not something that is separate or distinct from the Old Testament teachings or from the teachings of Jesus. To prophesy was to also reflect on and build upon what was God has already said. He says later, point C, I'm jumping around a little bit, Paul, what he commends is revelation and knowledge, prophecy, and teaching and worship. Everything that would instruct or that would edify, these things Paul encouraged in worship. So when we sing our hymns and they teach us something or they reassure us of something or they open our eyes to something, this is edification. This is building up the church. When almost every Sunday we have an introit of a psalm from Scripture, that builds us up. And oftentimes I say the psalm with you in response of reading, I'm saying, wow, that was good. I should be preaching on that instead of what I plan. Because the psalms are these hymns of God, these divinely inspired hymns of God that the Old Testament people wrote. And they build us up and teach us about God. Or when we say our prayers, we pray for others. We pray for ourselves, yes, but we pray for others, and we pray for our land. We build and edify and encourage us one another with our prayers to God. All these things together are giving instruction and encouragement and are clear. It's interesting because the term, I guess it doesn't really translate very well into the English. He says, if what you say in a tongue is not understood by others, he says, then you're speaking to the air. And isn't that a funny way of thinking about it and saying it? It's actually literally, it's your air speaking. If we do things in worship, and it's not understandable, or it doesn't build up, it's not encouraging, who is it benefiting? It's just going out here somewhere. But rather, what we do in worship encourages and builds up. Everything that we do in worship is based on the Word of God. I may make a mistake or say something poorly in the sermon, and you, together, we may get drawn off thinking about something else outside of the Word of God in church. We make mistakes. We're not perfect. But the Word of God is the foundation on which we are building. And when we are wrong, we're drawn to our mistake, drawn to our sin, and Scripture shows it to us, and we repent. And that Word of God is the foundation on which our worship is built. We know we can trust it. And Paul, it's interesting too, he has this strong focus in several of those verses that we read about what will the outsider, the non-Christian, the unbeliever think. If it's just chaotic, if what is done doesn't have meaning or it isn't understandable, he says, they'll say you're out of your mind. So that is also important for us, is when an unbeliever or an outsider or a visitor sees us, they know what's going on. They know who we are worshiping. They know what we are praying for. It is clear. And they will say, okay, I don't know if I believe or not, but I understand what they're saying. I understand what's going on. This is very, very important. Paul did not say do not have tongues. And there's differences of opinion. It depends kind of in what denomination you are, but the commentators are not sure. Is this a tongues of understandable, of angels and not a human language, or is it a human language like Pentecost? You can kind of sometimes debate that back and forth. But Paul says it really doesn't matter because there has to be interpretation, it has to be understood. So if I would start preaching in Russian, but none of you understand Russian, what good is that? It's a human language, it would help somebody, but it doesn't help the people here. What builds up the church is what is important. I have in the heading there, what I do in point two, what I do in worship is not about me, but about God and others. Worship helps you and me. It does. But even in our worship, what is so important is that we see that the others are edified and that God is praised. And so we look for to benefit the whole body of Christ. Even though we're different from one another, we have different opinions, we have different likes and dislikes, yet we want the whole body, the whole family of God to be built up. And that's what's important. He says there in verse 17, for you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. The beauty of our singing or the beauty of our thanksgiving might be good and glorious to God and might be benefiting us to a certain extent. But Paul says, but what's important is that the others are also built up. So this is something always in our minds, to serve one another, to rejoice with one another, to encourage one another as we gather together in the name of Jesus. The Word of God is the center and foundation of our Christian worship. I have the verse right there on the bottom part of that page. A direct quote from Paul. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Paul wants to drive home this teaching that what we want to do is grow in the Lord. And grow in the Lord with our mind and spirit together, and we want to benefit each other. And I take these words, we have to take these words literally. He said it. Five words. If you understand, Jesus loves you. That is more beneficial than 10,000, 20,000 words, I would say, in Russian. Jesus forgives you. That is precious and holy. And all of us can say those five words. Not only here in church, but outside of church time. And we can tell the person who's hurting because of sin, Jesus forgives you. We can tell the person who is ill, Jesus loves you. Pray to Jesus. Five-word sentence. Think of the five-word sentences you can say to encourage. That, Paul says, is more important than 10,000 words that have no meaning, that don't give instruction. So as the Lord Jesus gathers us together, he calls us to be encouraged by him, but also to be encouragement to one another. And you know what? This congregation does that. You do it a lot. And as I was able to preach to the pastors the Sunday that, or the Tuesday that we're gathered here, I'm used to preaching to the choir, but today I get to preach to the pastors. You all are the choir. You all show, I have seen from all of you, the love and encouragement for God's people, for one another. But there are temptations that the Corinthians fell into and we fall into too. There are temptations to think about myself first, to not think about the others. And these teachings from 1 Corinthians, they show us that what undergirds everything, and to be reminded over and over again, is this love for one another, so that everything that we do will build up and will strengthen and will honor God. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the love you have shown us in Christ and that we are able to share with one another daily, weekly, yearly, and into the decades. And we give you thanks that you have given us your word and your love, and we are able to share that with one another, even for generations. And yet we are sinners, Lord, and we fail this day and another day. And we ask you to forgive us. And we ask you to build us up. Build us up with your word, your truth, your love and forgiveness. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the name and thankful for all that Jesus has done for us. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.